Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not happy with the way the Notre Dame acceptance speech was given by Obama. And so I sent out one of my blast of faxes. And I got to tell you, I'm disappointed with Notre Dame. And I'm going to give you a little background on the Notre Dame fight song. And I'm going to give you my new version of New Notre Dame. It used to be cheer, cheer for old Notre Dame. Now it's three jeers for new Notre Dame. I have a picture of Obama bin Laden wearing the Notre Dame graduate gown. And he's got his hand over the crowd in a Sieg Heil fashion. And I went on the internet and I found a photo of Hitler giving a speech at the Reichstag. And getting the salute back from the senators and congressmen. In this case, it's the students at Notre Dame. And I captioned it, "Another great speaker. Three jeers for new Notre Dame." And one graduate I caught in an interview, he summed it up. "I don't care, man, I got my degree. And it's all about me." Jesus says, "Many are called, but few are chosen." You think of those words. Many are called and few are chosen. That is how it went at Go Along and to Get Along in Notre Dame. It's only a matter of time before Planned Parenthood opens a campus chop shop right next door to the Catholic Rehab Clinic. Notre Dame is now the symbol of failed Catholic education and joins the other watered-down Catholic Columbia-style universities. Joining No Jesus Here Georgetown, Seton Hall, and Fordham Make-Believe University. Add your mistaken for Catholic education college here. Show me one that measures up to the teachings of Jesus and his apostles. Surely it's not Marymount, who graduated a pro-no-choice woman candidate for the DNC VP, Geraldine Ferraro. When the majority commits murder, murder will become the law of the land. Diversity is a dirty word. Life begins at conception. When the sperm penetrates the egg, that's jackpot. That's three Liberty Bells straight across, father, mother, and the absentee ballot. I refer to chapter 4 in my book, Save the Kids. So I'll give you a little background on the Notre Dame song. I'll play a little bit of it for you, and then I'll give you the background of it to see what old Notre Dame was like compared to new and improved Notre Dame, like brown toothpaste.
The University of Notre Dame proudly presents its marching band, the Band of the Fighting Irish.
Boy, they didn't fight too hard for life for the unborn, did they? Huh? They didn't fight right for their Catholic teaching, did they? They accommodated an abortionist. There's no difference between the guy who does the dirty deed and the guy who signs the warrant. They're both equally to blame. And Obama sucked them all right in with, we can agree to disagree. Not when it comes to child murder, you can't. It's a sin. Maybe Obama should have described the process that takes place in partial birth abortion. Maybe he should have done a little demonstration on a doll's head with a pair of scissors, and then let's see how the audience would have reacted. Give us our diploma. Here's some background on the song, Cheers for Old Notre Dame. Without a doubt, the most recognizable collegiate fight song in the nation, the Notre Dame Victory March, it's now a retreat, was written just past the turn of the century by two brothers who were University of Notre Dame graduates. You want to see the difference between then and now? Michael J. Shea, a 1905 graduate, wrote the music, and his brother John Shea, who earned degrees in 1906 and 1908, wrote the words. The song was copyrighted in 1908, and a piano version completed with lyrics was published that year. Michael became a priest in Ossining, New York, and he collaborated on the project with his brother John, who lived in Holyoke, Massachusetts. The song's public debut came in the winter of 1908 when Michael played it on the organ of the Second Congregational Church in Holyoke. The Notre Dame Victory March later was presented by the Shea brothers to the university, and it first appeared under the copyright of the University of Notre Dame in 1928. The copyright was assigned to the publishing company of Edwin Morris, and the copyright for the beginning of the song is still in effect. The words and music, which begin with the words, "Cheer, cheer for Old Notre Dame," are in the public domain in the United States, but are protected in all territories outside the country. Notre Dame's fight song was first performed at Notre Dame on Easter Sunday, 1909, in the rotunda of the administration building. The University of Notre Dame Band, under the direction of Professor Clarence Peterson, played it as part of its athletic event 10 years later. In 1969, as college football celebrated its centennial, the Notre Dame Victory March was honored as the greatest of all fight songs. Michael Shea was the pastor of St. Augustine's Church in Ossining, New York, until his death in 1938. John Shea, his brother, a baseball monogram winner at Notre Dame, became a Massachusetts state senator, probably the last decent one, and he lived in Holyoke until his death in 1965. The song's composers would probably be surprised to learn what popularity it has gained since its creation nearly a century ago. They intended the song to be merely an example and hoped it would encourage students to eventually write something better, and the brothers never imagined the Victory March would gain so much fame. And now, it's a disgrace song for what they did in protecting the unborn at Notre Dame, which should have been the first pillar of pro-life. Here's new words for an old Notre Dame great song. This is the new Notre Dame flight song. Cheer, cheer for Obama's Notre Dame. Gone is the religion that honored her name. Send your lamentations way down low, betraying your mother, worship her foe. Failing to protect the unborn so small, new Notre Dame will sacrifice all, while her tradition goes down the drain. Sigh goodbye to old Notre Dame. Yes, and never forget that Obama approves editing children and leaves them on the cutting room floor. If they're still alive, he lets them expire. You don't think that when a partial birth abortion takes place and the doer is sticking the scissors in the baby's neck, you don't think that's the same as the crucifixion of our Lord, do you? You think it's the same head trauma? This should have been the graduation song at Notre Dame while Obama was on stage.
And sure.
I got on one website that protested Obama being at Notre Dame, and there was 20 students who didn't go to the graduation. They held a separate prayer ceremony with Father Pavone, who's the Right to Life chaplain, who's right here on the, in New York. And he doesn't get much support. He's like a one-man band. Just like Bill Donahue. Is that his name, Bill Donahue? From the Catholic League? He's another one-man band. You don't see legions of people out there fighting for Jesus. You see a handful of apostles. That's it. So 20 students held a prayer vigil rather than go to the graduation. And meanwhile, at the graduation, Obama said Mass. What a joke. Jesus was disappointed when the apostles fell asleep. So 20 beats 12. I often say the Catholic Church can go down to 12 and start over again. I guess America now has sunshine Catholics over sunshine patriots. Thank you, 20, for saving one life, which will lead to the saving of many lives. I guess when the phylactery Catholics brought up the gifts to Obama, they included the Pontius Pilate finger bowl. I understand one pro-life protester was shouted down with the words, crucify him. So when Obama said Mass at Georgetown, he demanded that the sign of Christ be covered up. So I guess when he said Mass at Notre Dame, he outlawed the Ave Maria. Did anybody sing the Ave Maria at graduation? What are you kidding? What do you think we are, Catholic? Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book at .com. You know, there's 2,000 dealers out there looking for a new car. If there was a guy out there that had a dream car, now's his time to pick up a 2,000 dealers. Even if they only sold one a year, that's 2,000. That's a nice start. And dealers would love to get something going. And it's sad to see these 2,000 dealers. You know, they're no different than small farmers who are being overrun by big conglomerates. They're no different than any other small businessman. Look at all the lumber yards that went out of business. Those were all mom-and-pop operations. And we fed our own demise. There's going to come a day in this country we all can't be fixing computers. We all can't be drug pharmaceutical marketing agents. And probably by that time, and the pharmaceutical companies will be getting rid of all of their help, too. We're in a bad straits, and we don't know it. We're about to go down the tubes big time. The only jobs that are going to be available are government jobs. And I'll tell you right now, the day will come when governments will have to lay off employees, too. Already the post office is getting rid of 25,000 people. No tax revenue, no payroll for government employees. And I can remember when New York went broke in the 70s, and sanitation workers, New York City sanitation workers, were going into Chase Bank on payday, and Chase refused to cash their check because the city was broke. And they all came out, they were all stunned. They can't do this. It was done, and it could be done again. Hang in there. You don't know who to believe and who to trust. I'll tell you one person not to trust. That's somebody that never worked for a living, who's making big money at your expense. Why did Nancy Pelosi have to take a government jet to go see the Pope? Couldn't she have ran around the corner from where she was and visited a church with a lowly Catholic priest? But no, she had to go to Rome to see the Pope. How much gas was that? How many carbon credits did she write? What a joke. We're all chasing... Washington, D.C. is a Hollywood set. We're all chasing and fighting imaginary windmills. You've got Obama today saying that he's declared war on oil. So he's going to shut down the gas stations. And everybody's going to buy new cars that are going to cost more, but over a three-year period, yeah. You know what? The only thing that was missing up on that stage today was a good violinist. Because a visual effects man to drop the snowflakes, because we're all getting a big communist snowdrop. Comrades, the five-year plan is here. Yeah, and pretty soon we'll all be driving combines. Yeah, we'll all be cutting a sugar cane for a Fidel Obama. We're in trouble. We have a government that doesn't know how to make money. We have a government that doesn't know how to save money. We got a government that passed 1,200 new laws and didn't read one of them. Unbelievable. A tax code. Yeah, a tax code. What a joke. We're in trouble. And they're cutting back on the troops, but they're getting ready to send the troops into Pakistan. You're gonna see a battle like you never saw before. And never forget what I told you before, and I'm gonna say it over and over again until it rings true. Democrats get you into war, and they leave you to die on the battlefield. They retreat back to the airports where they spit on the incoming troops. And that's what Democrats do. And they do it better than anybody else. If anybody knows how to betray their country, the Democrats do. And the students of Notre Dame. Sorry, guys, the truth hurts. You let a murderer become a class valedictorian. You let a guy who leaves babies to die be your spokesman. No good will come of it. You're cursed. You're cursed. The God of our fathers is not happy with you. Only 20 students held out from going to their graduation and had a prayer vigil. 20. That's 8 more than the 12 apostles, which soon the Catholic Church is going to have to go back down to and start all over again. And while we're talking about religious numbers, there are 1 billion Catholics in the world. So you think about that. 1 billion Catholics in the world, and then you want to take all the other Protestant denominations, the Lutherans, Calvinists, everybody, Huguenots, put them all together. How many are there? Another billion? 500 million? So when somebody tells you the Muslim world is over 1 billion Muslims and they can crush anybody, let me tell you something. The people of the cross can do 10 times more damage. And besides, the people of the cross have holy nukes. So don't be buffaloed by 1 billion Muslims. And don't be intimidated by 1 billion Muslims. When the cross goes up, everybody's in trouble. And crusades helped a lot of people. And there were bad guys on both sides. Don't let them tell you. Don't let them tell you that the Spanish ruined the Western civilization. The Spanish brought culture. They brought exploration. The Spanish brought a lot of good things. Corpus Christi, Texas. The Sierra Madre Mountains. Everything with God in them. Los Angeles. San Francisco. The Spanish brought their language, which we're trying to get rid of because it's driving us crazy. Press a cinco for English. And the French contributed a lot to the United States, as did the Dutch, as did the English. So don't let anybody play that, the oppressed peoples, the Europeans oppressed the colonies. Listen, everybody is the master of his own destiny. There's good and bad in everybody. I'm sure that if you look into the soul of Chuck Schumer, there's a white part somewhere. And Congress voted 95-5 today, the Senate did, to waterboard Nancy Pelosi to get to the truth. Yeah, the left is always telling us the power of the 1 billion Muslims. There's 1 billion Catholics. We can pray for the 1 billion Muslims. We don't have to beat them. Do you remember, if you're a Catholic, you should remember this, that for years we prayed for the conversion of Russia. Every Mass, they prayed for the conversion of Russia, just like in every Mass they prayed for the safety of our troops. But at every Mass they prayed for the conversion of Russia. And about 2 years before the Berlin Wall fell, they stopped praying. So maybe you don't get it till after you stop praying.
What a fascinating tale you would tell of an age the world has long forgotten, of an age that weaves a silent magic in Granada today. Greets the day with a sigh for Granada. for she can remember the splendor that once was Granada. It still can be found in the hills all around as I wander along, entranced by beauty before me, entranced by a land full of sunshine and flowers and song. And when day is done and the sun starts to set in Granada, I envy the blush of the snow-clad Sierra Nevada. For soon it will welcome the stars, while a thousand guitars play a song of Bonera. Then moonlit Granada will live again the glory of yesterday, romantic.
Every Sunday night I watch the Tudors. I think that's fantastic to see all of the maneuvering and the pure lust that drove Henry VIII. I always, like I told you before, I always thought Henry VIII was, they counted him as the eighth because he had eight wives. But it turns out I think he only had five wives. If they were doing a Spanish version of this, they would get Geraldo Rivera to play Geraldo Tudor. Geraldo the Fifth. Yeah, he'd make a great Henry VIII in Spanish. Yeah, but there is a lot of intrigue, murder, lust, jockeying for position. And this last Sunday, Henry got screwed. He literally got screwed because he was looking for a Playboy centerfold, and Cromwell, who's Henry's right hand man, wanted an alliance with the Protestant League to destroy the Catholic Church for once and for all. And so he had an artist that Henry dispatched to paint the picture of Anne of Cleves, and he said, "Touch up the photo." And the artist says, "Do you want me to lie?" And Cromwell says, "Sure, why not? All artists lie." So when Henry finally met her, he had a hissing fit, and he nearly kills Cromwell. And they asked him to describe his bride, and he said, "She's a horse." Here's a guy, you can have anybody. It was sad, too, because Anne of Cleves is another saint. Henry likes to kill the saints. But it is very interesting, and I hear it's going off the air, and it's too bad, because they could... It's a hell of a lot better than the one that they're going to show us with the wife of Tony Soprano. She's going to play a drug using nurse. It's just what America needs to see. You know, they've brought women down to six rungs on the sewer ladder, and now they're going to bring nurses down to the rat run in the sewers. How's that? You know how many saints are out there taking care of the sick, and they're going to give us a dope using a former soprano who has a sex between triages. A menage a triage. Yeah. Oh God, are we a screwed up country? You know what? This whole nation should go to confession. As a nation, they should give a day off, and the whole nation has to go to confession. No sense in going to a shrink, because a shrink is just going to lead you astray. probably sexually assault you too, and charge you $500. Give me that old-time religion, 5 Hail Marys and $5 in the poor box, and we'll call it even.
You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I wanna go play hide and seek. I wanna go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon. You and I are just like a couple of tots running across a meadow, picking up lots of forget-me-nots. You make me feel so young. You make me feel there are songs to be sung, bells to be rung, and a wonderful fling to be flung. And even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today, 'cause you make me feel so young. You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I wanna go and play hide and seek. I wanna go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon. You and I are just like a couple of tots running across a meadow, picking up lots of forget-me-nots. You make me feel so young. You make me feel there are songs to be sung, bells to be rung, wonderful fling to be flung. And even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today, 'cause you make me feel so young. You make me feel so young. You make me feel so young. Ooh, you make me feel so young.
I was off today and I was watching Fox and Friends, and their guest was Jesse Ventura, the ex-governor of Minnesota. And Jesse started to badger Brian Kilmeade, who stood tall, and he fought back. And Jesse was really trying to intimidate him, and, you know, because Jesse is overpowering. He's a big dude, you know? And Brian, he wouldn't take he wouldn't let himself get pushed back. He confronted Jesse, and the subject was waterboarding. And all of a sudden, Jesse's a dove. But Jesse used to be a Navy SEAL, and I guarantee you that when Jesse was hanging around with Navy SEALs, they weren't talking about hitting the enemy with powder puffs. So I sent Brian a little note of encouragement, and I'll share it with you. Brian stood tall. It was Jesse who looked small. When he asked you, were you in the service, you should have said what I say. I was in the pink berets, silver sequins on our chest. Here we are, America's best. 100 men we test today, but only one pair of boots will do ballet. I'm not intimidated by big, rough, tough guys, unless they start breaking things like bones. Jesse was talking windsock talk, you know, which way the wind is blowing. He sampled the air, and he decided that this was going to be his bag. believing he is representing the majority. But what Jesse needs to do, what Brian should have done, is taken him down to Liberty Plaza and had him and stuck his face in DNA dust and then asked him about waterboarding. But you see, Jesse wasn't there, so Jesse doesn't care. Jesse would be just another 9-10 a New Yorker, unless he was steeped in pilot blood. And then he would have a different attitude. Especially, you know, nobody could guarantee our safety on 911 in that evening. And not too many people slept well on the night of 911. There was the anthrax scare. There was the thought of more attacks. And people were totally uncomfortable. More than uncomfortable. The sale of Pampers was nearly doubled. So,
not a hi.
Jesse wasn't talking that talk. He accused Brian of talking the talk but not walking the walk. And but Jesse wasn't talking that talk when he was doing the SEAL walk. And I told Brian he should have thrown him a red herring. He also needs to stop starving the barber. What is it with these guys that have no hair on the top and they let the hair go scraggly on the sides? It looks terrible. Be consistent, man. And Jesse is living proof that anybody can make it in Minnesota. And I told Brian, you stood your ground and you did not back down. And Brian's last name is Kilmeade, so I got a feeling there's Irish blood in his veins. Loudly the notes of the trumpet were sounding, and fiercely the war cry arose on the gale. Jesse is looking for an Obama job, and everybody knows that Nancy Uday Pelosi needs to be waterboarded if we're ever going to get the truth. And then I said to Brian, if you really want to break Al-Qaeda, just read them Obama's Notre Dame a snow job. Here is the true test. If you want to test somebody on how they feel about torture, give them this scenario to deal with. Pick one person you love the most. They are buried alive with 5 minutes of air left. Sitting across from you in the interrogation room is Khalid the Virgin Counter, and he buried the one you love. You have the only pistol in the room, and sitting across from you is Khalid's ACLU lawyer, and he's about to read 6 minutes of Khalid's rights. Khalid is laughing at you. Now comes your world opinion test. After you shoot the lawyer, what do you do next? Yeah. You know what you need right now? You need a boost. You need a Marine Corps hymn. A bugler. A boots and saddles. If you want to know what this country was like before we were downsized by the communists, you got to go to the History Channel. You got to see your ancestors, your forefathers. You got to see your grandfathers, your great-grandfathers, your grandmothers. You've got to see the America that once was. And you'll never realize how much you've lost because you have nothing to compare to. You've already been brainwashed. And if you don't believe you're not brainwashed, just feel your left ear, right behind your left ear, and tell me there's no drain plug there. It's sad. You have nothing to compare to. What do you know about religion when you're not religious? Do you know when the Iron Curtain fell, all those Russians who came to this country, unless they prayed in basements, they were raised in a country with no God. They don't feel and talk and think the same way we do. They were godless. It's not their fault. God was taken from them before they knew God existed. And you know what? That's going to be us in another 50 years. We're going to be just like the Soviets before the war. So don't forget to fly your flag at half-mast this month because it's Memorial Day. And never forget that the only reason that you're walking, living, and breathing is because some guy who was 16, who lied about his age so he could go fight for his country, took a bullet for you, took poison gas for you, was machine-gunned for you, was experimented on by the Japanese, having his kidneys removed while he was alive without anesthesia, for you, who hung upside down in a Viet Cong prison, For you, who froze to death at Valley Forge, for you, who had skin in the game that you do not. You never served your God, you never served your country. How are you going to account when you go to the bank of life? So I'm going to read you a hymn that is sung by the U.S. Navy, and it's for all servicemen. And it says everything. It's called the Navy Hymn. And the reason I'm going to read it to you is because you won't understand the words when you hear them sung. Because it was done back in the 1700s. Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm hath bound the restless wave, who bidst the mighty ocean deep its own appointed limits keep. God sets limits for the ocean. That's why you don't have to worry about global warming. Oh, hear us when we cry to thee for those who peril on the sea. And there's no difference between periling on the sea and having a drug problem on land. You're both in peril. Oh, Christ, whose voice the waters heard and hushed their raging at thy word, who walked on the foaming deep, and calm amidst its rage didst keep. O, hear us when we cry to thee, for those who peril on the sea. What mother wants to give birth to a son, to raise him, or a daughter, to raise her, to be 14 or 15, and then watch the drug man take their pride and joy away? Most Holy Spirit, who didst brood upon the chaos dark and rude, and bid its angry tumult cease, and give for wild confusion peace. O, hear us when we cry to thee for those who peril on the sea. And when you think of peril on the sea, think of those big aircraft carriers that took hits and lost thousands of men, and those guys were buried at sea. O Trinity of love and power, our brethren shield in danger's hour, from rock and tempest, fire and foe, protect them wheresoever they go. Thus evermore shall rise to thee glad hymns of praise from land and sea. This Navy hymn has all kinds of added verses from different units in the military. And they're trying to get Jesus out of the military. You see, the communists don't want to see God anywhere. That's why you get to see vampire movies from Hollywood. Because Hollywood hates God. Just think of the last three movies they made. All with titles from the Bible. It has nothing to do with God whatsoever. Can you name the three? How about The Good Shepherd? Was that one? Ash Wednesday, was that another? You think about how Hollywood spits in the eye of God. You don't think there's going to be a day of reckoning? Huh? Next time you see a rainbow in the sky, just remember that's God's eye. Here's something to think about. When they kill a baby performing an abortion, where does the embryonic fluid go? Is that like peril on the sea for that child? The next time somebody's talking about reparations, you sing him the words to this song. And never forget, 1,000 horses were lost at Gettysburg alone. And the sacrifice of the young white men to free the slaves, they are entitled to reparations too. They gave up all their tomorrows.
My brave lad sleeps in his faded coat of blue. In a lonely grave unknown lies the heart that beats so true. He sang faint and hungry among the famished brave, and they laid him sad and lonely within his nameless grave. No more the bugle calls the weary one. Rest, noble spirit, in thy grave unknown. I'll find you and know you among the good and true. when a robe of white is given for the faded coat of blue. Cried, give me water and just a little crumb, and my mother, she will bless you through all the years to come. Oh, tell my sweet sister, so gentle, good and true, that I'll meet her up in heaven in my faded coat of blue. No more the bugle calls the weary one. Rest, noble spirit, in thy grave unknown. I'll find you and know you among the good and true. When a robe of white is given for a faded coat of blue. Yet my heart with startling beat, with each footfall at my door, I gaze over the hill where he waved a last adieu. But no gallant lad I see in his faded coat of blue. No more the bugle calls the weary one. Rest, noble spirit, in thy grave unknown. I'll find you and know you among the good and true. When a robe of white is given